So today we will be reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 8, Text 9, and we will all be churning the milk asan together today. So you all ready to churn the asan of milk? Got your ropes ready for the tug of war? Tasyaham chakrus pruham sarve Sasura-sura-manava Rupaudarya-vayo-varna Mahimakshipta-cetasaha Tasyaham unto her Chakru did Spriham desire Sarve Everyone. Sasura Asura Manava. The demigods, the demons, and the human beings. Rupa Adarya. By the exquisite beauty and bodily features. Vayaha. Youth. Varna. Complexion. Mahima, glories. Akshipta, agitated. Chetasaha, their minds. Translation and purport by His Divine Guest A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation. Because of her exquisite beauty, her bodily features, her youth, her complexion and her glories, everyone, including the demigods, the demons and human beings, desired her. They were attracted because she is the source of all opulences. Purport, who in this world does not want to possess wealth, beauty and the social respectability that comes from these opulences? People generally desire material enjoyment, material opulence and the association of aristocratic family members. Bhogeshwarya prasaktanam. Material enjoyment entails money, beauty and the reputation they bring, which can all be achieved by the mercy of the goddess of fortune. The goddess of fortune, however, never remains alone. As indicated in the previous verse by the word Bhagavata Para, she is the property of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and is enjoyable only by Him. If one wants the favor of the Goddess of Fortune, Mother Lakshmi, because she is by nature Bhagavata Para, one must keep her with Narayan. The devotees who always engage in the service of Narayan, Narayana Parayana, can easily achieve the favor of the Goddess of Fortune without a doubt. But materialists who try to get favor of the Goddess of Fortune only to possess her for personal enjoyment are frustrated. Theirs is not a good policy. The celebrated demon Ravana, for example, wanted to deprive Rama, Chandra, of Lakshmi, Sita, and thus be victorious. But the result was just the opposite. Sita, of course, was taken by force by Lord Ramachandra, and Ravana and his entire material empire were vanquished. The goddess of fortune is desirable for everyone, including human beings. But one should understand that the goddess of fortune is the exclusive property of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One cannot achieve the mercy of the goddess of fortune unless one prays both to her and to the Supreme Enjoyer, the Personality of Godhead. Everyone, Namam Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesa Sunyavadi Prashtade Satarine Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaurabhaktavrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Please repeat after me. Because of her exquisite beauty, her bodily features, her youth, her complexion, and her glories, everyone, including the demigods, the demons, and the humans, desired her. They were attracted because she is the source of all opulences. So we are remembering the pastimes of the churning of the mountain in the milk ocean, and we have gone through the episodes where Lord Shiva happily drinks poison. He has no problem, no resistance, you know. And because he drinks the poisons, the demons, the demigods and humans are all happy. Why? Because if we didn't drink the poison, and if the poison was let loose, the entire universe would be annihilated. Then we hear how the Surabhi cow comes out, the white horse comes out, then we hear about the different elephants coming out. And different. So now we are hearing about how Mother Lakshmi is appearing. And here there is a very sensitive description given, because it's describing the beauty, the bodily features, the youth, the complexion. And this is coming from Bhagavatam. And then on the other side, sometimes we hear how we are supposed to look at everyone as part and parcel of Krishna. And especially when it comes to men looking at women, then they are supposed to look at anyone other than the spouse is either meant to be a mother, a daughter, a sister, and in some fortunate situations, a guru mata. No? So this, if you look at both this, then it appears there is some contradiction. This opulence and beauty and everything is being described here, and is very naturally very, very attractive. So how do you look at this contradiction, which appears to human mind as a contradiction? Because we are humans, and because we are conditioned, then our vision is also conditioned. We are also limited in how we look at things, how we see things. You know? Therefore, it's very important that we follow the guidance of Shastra, Sadhu and Guru, you know, so that we can actually see this in a very proper perspective way. And even here, Srila Prabhupada, when he starts his purport, he says, who in this world does not want to possess wealth, beauty and the social respectability? He's questioning, who doesn't? Is there anyone who doesn't? Wow. Nobody is in the parampara of Bharat here. Or Prahlad Maharaj, Guru Maharaj. Prabhupada is questioning, who doesn't? And we know, there is a saying that when somebody gets a little money, they become funny, right? Your best friend, you lived with so many years, you served with so many, suddenly when they get a lottery and they get $1 million or something, they really become funny. Yeah? Unless they love you dearly, which is very rare, because love and lust are two different things. So, that is why it's important for us to understand how to look at this with a proper spiritual vision. You know? We chant, Cheta Darpanam Janam Bhava Mahadevagni Nirvapanam. Cheta Darpan. Unless we do chanting regularly and seriously, we are not going to cleanse the heart. And unless the heart is cleansed, we are not going to be able to look at the teachings that are given at different times, places and circumstances, and they appear to be contradictory, whereas they are meant to be full of bliss and blessings, you know. To hear about Mother Lakshmi, if you can understand that Mother Lakshmi is the consort of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lakshmi Narayan, you know, she is directly connected to Narayan and she is always serving him. And yet she possesses beauty, she possesses wealth, she possesses all kinds of opulences. And if you worship her, she will give you what you want. But she is also said to be very chanchalam. So without Krishna, if she comes to you, she will also go out very fast. You know, you will not be funny anymore. Right? Many times people, if you look at the internet and you see how people win big time lotteries, and the next thing you know is they had a heart attack and they're gone. You know, many times it happens, not one time, many times it happens. Somebody wins a big lottery which they have been hankering for year after year, spending so much money, and then finally they get it. One in a billion chance, not even one in a million chance, right? It's one in a billion or a trillion that you're likely to win that lottery. You know. And then when you win that lottery, you get a heart attack. Why? Because there was no Cheto Darpan Marjana. We have to become like in a Sudama consciousness. You know? Sudama consciousness means that no matter how much opulence you get, you don't get too excited. Sushila, she sent Sudama, go see Krishna. Go and see him. Go see Krishna. He's your friend. Come on, Baba, we are suffering. We have nothing to eat. We don't have clothes to wear properly. You go to your friend, he's so opulent. He'll give you something. Because Sudama was a devotee, he didn't really want to go. But ultimately, you know, he decided, okay, I will go because my wife is persisting so much. So he went. And what did he take with him to give to Krishna? Gift of just some chipped rice, right? And then when he goes to Krishna's palace, you all know the pastime that like, as soon as he sees the opulence, he's trying to hide. He's trying to hide the chip rice. How can I give this? Look at this guy, he's got so much opulence, right? People come here to Krishna Balaram temple and they see all these things and they complain, oh, you guys, you're living so much opulence. You're supposed to be monks, right? Right? Why do they say that? That is because there's so much ignorance prevailing in the society. No? They don't understand that the best has to be given to Krishna and in service to Krishna. So when Sudama arrived, Krishna hears that Sudama is there, he's with Rukmini, he drops everything, he runs like a little kid. You know, he's running. You know, sometimes you may experience that you meet somebody after a long time, your alumni or some village friend or childhood friend, and you're meeting them after 20 or 30 years. You become all very excited because, and that only happens when you had some really good pastimes together. No? So here Krishna is so excited, he's running. He runs right through the corridors all the way till he gets to Sudama and then he grabs him and he embraces him. No? All these queens and the children and the servants, they couldn't understand why Krishna is running like this. He's so excited. No? He's running like this, he's hugging him, he's bringing him into the palace. He's sitting on his own personal dais. Here, you sit on this dais here. And Sudama is wearing torn clothes. Let's see. He's very humble, very skinny. In the modern society, you would call that this is a tramp. But this was a real devotee tramp, you know. He mesmerized Krishna just like that. Krishna wanted to eat the cheap rice. Just think what the queens were thinking. Why? We're giving him the best of prasadam. We're giving him the best of the foods. Everything that he wants, we're cooking. More than chapan bhogs in every offering. No? And still he's after this cheap rice from a little bag, which are not even cooked.
And he's eating and rejoicing them. It's like he hasn't eaten for days and days and he was waiting just for the cheap rice to arise. And that was like his favorite food that he really wanted to eat, and that he is. Sudama, well done. I'm so happy to see you brought my cheap rice. No? Can you imagine how Krishna was so excited and the queens were so bewildered? What's going on here? You know, we do so much service to Krishna every day. And look at him. We never see the reciprocation from him towards us. Sometimes as we are pujaris and we are serving, we may also think like that, but we should be careful, be alert. Krishna is always reciprocating, but he will reciprocate according to your bhava. It wasn't like he'd never seen cheap rice. It wasn't like he never had friends. But this particular friend had so much devotion, so much bhakti inside him, that it was flowing, that Krishna could see. No? You don't necessarily have to put a big tilak, big, you know, nice clothes and everything and say, now Krishna is going to see me. Krishna is not after our external looks. He is not after what we can externally put up as a show. He is Suridham. He is seated within our hearts. He can see what's going on. If you are cheating yourself, he can see that. If you really love Krishna, he can also feel that. It's up to us. Are we doing seriously some Chetodarpan Mahajanam? Are we taking some guidance, you know, from the sadhu and sastras who are already realized? Are we taking our spiritual life seriously? Are we following the sadhana bhakti seriously? Are we making sure that we don't commit offenses so that our spiritual master also doesn't have to take 10% of my offenses? These are serious points of consideration. Beauty, wealth, opulence, everything is there when Krishna is there. If Krishna is not there, there's nothing there really. Everything that you have without Krishna is all temporary. And everything that you have with Krishna, even a petal of flower, this is a very powerful thing. If you have devotion, Krishna is everywhere. There is no place where there is no Krishna. So when Sudama is leaving, Krishna doesn't give him anything, gives him his old clothes back. You know, generally we say, well, Sudama was feeling bad, why Krishna didn't give me anything? But a true devotee looks at it differently. A devotee looks at it differently, just like Sudama did. He was so happy that Krishna didn't give him anything as he walked away. He was thinking, just see, my Lord is so kind to me, because he knows that if he gives me opulences, then there's a good chance that I will fall down. Right? Like, money makes us funny. Don't forget. So opulence makes us funny also. Wealth also makes us go in the wrong direction if it's not utilized in the service of Krishna. So he was actually going away, satisfied that I came by force and now I'm going back. So this way Krishna has understood my welfare. Krishna is my real well-wisher. Otherwise Krishna could have given, he is, take some gold, take some nice clothes, you know, I'll send 100 servants with you. Krishna had so many servants. He could have given Sudama so much, but he didn't. So Sudama is going away, but once Sudama is going away, Krishna is thinking, what is he thinking? My dear friend is so poor. I have so much, but I have nothing to give him really. Because no matter how much I give him, is not comparable to his devotion and bhakti for me. No. What is Krishna really looking for? He found what Sudama had in him, therefore he didn't consider anything at all. He even says that if I could give the entire Indra's position to Sudama, it would not be comparable. Rather, it would be an insult to his devotion and bhakti to me.
That's how the sadhus, the saints, we look at it like that. Not that we think on mundane platform, oh, Krishna was so selfish, didn't give anything, ate all the cheap rice, sent him away empty-handed. Oh, Sudama is thinking, oh, I came, I worshipped, you know, I came all the way, he didn't even give me a dime, right? As mundane, you know, humans, we would just think like that. You come and we pray to Krishna, and you pray to Krishna. And sometimes we don't get what we want, right? Sometimes you come back after a whole day's Harinam Sankirtan. Like, here we do book distribution, but in the West it's different. Devotees leave at 6:30 in the morning, and they don't come back till 11, 12 o'clock at night. And sometimes there's no prasadam, and they don't complain. The whole goal, I remember in the late 70s, early 80s when I joined, in the marathon time everyone went out all day, just so sincerely. There was no stopping. Everyone went out sincerely just to distribute books. And often you'd come back so late, you're so tired, but you wanted to be the first person up next day, early in the morning, so you could go and distribute books for the pleasure of Srila Prabhupada. There were so many wonderful devotees when I joined. Even when I think of it, my whole body kind of vibrates from inside, thinking of those wonderful devotees from whom I picked up so much mercy. No? That mercy is flowing causelessly. It's in your hands. Do you want it? Do you really want that mercy? Or you're hoping that it's just going to fall from sky because I've got a tilak, dhoti and kurta on and I'm sitting in Krishna Balaram temple. Where does your bhava lie? Where does your heart stand? That's important. Of course, when Sudama got back, then he saw the palace, he saw the wife dressed as a queen. He accepted it, but if you go into the narration of how he lives even in the palace, he's still very renounced. If we were given a palace like that to live in, how many of us would be able to remember Krishna at every moment and every breath of our life? And see every feature that exists around us in that palace as emanating from Krishna. That we understand that Krishna says, Aham Sarvasya Prabhava, that everything really does come from Him. And In the pastimes of Sudama, actually, ultimately he gives us a palace. When he sees his wife and his children becoming so much absorbed and going in the opposite direction, he actually preached to them and took them away from the palace. He gave the palace away. He gave it away. He didn't keep it. Because he was well-wisher of his family. A true father, the father of the family, his primary concern should be that how can I take my wife and my children back home, back to Godhead? Otherwise, you cannot be considered to be a spiritual father. Why do we say Guru Mata and Guru Pita? You know, mother assists, she guides. At times of challenges, she takes leadership. That is real spiritual life. That's Krishna consciousness. Not that now I have so much opulence, fine, let me enjoy. I will put this big flex in my room, in every room, saying, remember Krishna at the time of death. So suddenly if I die, I will remember Krishna. It doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that. So when we hear pastimes of the devotees through the Bhagavatam, every time we should try to relate it practically. How does it relate practically to us in our life today, in today's day and age? No? So we can, if you like, we can compare the churning of this mountain to the chanting. No? When you are churning, when they're chanting, the most different things are coming. First the poison is coming, you know. Right? Poison is coming? Right? We didn't say it, but you know it's coming, right? Your faith, your Shraddha in the Guru and Parampara system, you know it's coming. So likewise you have to have Shraddha in the process of chanting. When we hear about chanting, the first stage as opposed to poison, what is that poison that's coming out when you're chanting? The offenses that are coming out, right? You're chanting, but there's so much offenses, right? You're not focused, you're thinking of all the other things that you shouldn't have been thinking. Although you hear that every time I say, Hare Krishna, Krishna's chanting and dancing on my tongue.
right? But then, how often and seriously and sincerely do you take it that when you are chanting, Krishna is there, so I should focus on Krishna and not think of everything else that I am supposed to be doing and not supposed to be doing? The devil's advocate, the mind that runs on the basis of this, is always thinking of everything else except for Krishna, even when we are chanting. That's why Krishna, Arjuna is telling, Chanchalam Himana Krishna, the mind is so flickering, your mind is in so many different places, even when you are trying to say, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. We all experience that, right? So we have to go through it. Srila Prabhupada says, chant. Repent. Whenever you finish chanting and you look back and say, well, I didn't focus, then repent, atone, so that next time when you chant, you can chant better. Once the chanting is in progress, you know, the mountain goes down, Krishna comes and helps to bring it up, poison comes out, he takes care of the poison, right? He's showing by example that I am always there. Even when you are chanting, if you are sinking, I will come and lift you up. If your poisonous anarthas are coming out, I will come and take care of those anarthas. But chant with Shraddha. Then the good things will start coming out, you know. Then you get to what stage? What is the Surabhi cow in your life? What is the white horse in your life? What are the eight he and she elephants in your life? When you're chanting, you come to Namabhas stage, you know, where you begin to chant more seriously. When you chant more seriously, then the chanting is really taking place nicely now. Now you have lifted yourself above the Namaparad stage. And if we lift ourselves above the Namaparad stage, then we will be able to chant very nicely. We will be able to reach, to fill the chanting. You know, the day when you don't chant in the morning and you leave your chanting till later and you feel like you're carrying a mountain, even if one round is left and you feel you're still carrying a mountain, you missed out on something. You didn't do something very important you were supposed to do, right? Then you know that spiritual life is progressing. Like if you don't eat breakfast and then you don't eat lunch, and then it's going to late afternoon and you're feeling hungry, you feel it, right? That you're missing out on something. The stomach is crying for something. So likewise, not just the mind but the heart should be crying for the chanting of the holy name. If you haven't done your minimum promise that you gave to your spiritual master, right in the fire sacrifice and in the presence of devotees, then you should feel it. That I did not chant my rounds. I have to do that first. That should be the topmost priority. Because that is what's going to help you through. That's what's going to help us. And ultimately, if your Namabhas stage becomes perfected, as it becomes more perfected, then love of Krishna or love for Krishna will develop. You know, that's when the real nectar comes out, when they're churning and the nectar comes out, and then Krishna comes in Mohini Roop and gives special darshan and special education. Not just to the demons and demigods, but to the entire living beings in the universe for many, 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 you know, generations to come. So that's how we look at this. That yes, ultimately Krishna will come if our chanting is perfect. Krishna's love will emanate from your heart. And then Krishna will have no choice. You know, like even accidentally when demons, they chant the holy name of the Lord, Lord is very merciful to them. One time Chand Kazi is asking his servants, his soldiers, why are you guys chanting Hari Hari? You know, this is a Hindu god. Why are you chanting his name? He heard some of the soldiers or spies chanting Hari Hari. So they responded by saying, when we interacted with these Hindus, and some of them are called Krishna Das, and some of them are called Ram Das and Hari Das, somehow or another, when we call them by jokingly these names, now these sound vibrations are just resounding from our tongue. We are not able to stop it. That is how they responded, that we are not able to stop it. See the mercy of Krishna. Even if jokingly you call out upon His name, He can bestow mercy upon you. So, the way to look at this chapter and Bhagavatam classes, when we come to Bhagavatam classes, or we hear katha or we read, we should look at the essence of what we are hearing and see what is really beneficiary from that katha and how it's resounding in your life on daily basis and how you can apply it. It's not that, oh, this katha is being recited for everyone else except for me. Just like when somebody dies and you see Ram Nam Satya Hai, Ram Nam Satya Hai, and people are walking and you think, oh, somebody's died. How many times do you actually stop and think, I will be also going like that one day like this? How many people really think? It's astonishing, amazing, right? You see so many people dying. You go on Parikrama Marg and you go past that area where they have the cremation. Every day so many bodies are going. And you go past and you're chanting. And you're chanting away, completely in ignorance, I would say. At least I do, in ignorance. Because we don't think, I also have to land up. This is my final destination. This is called the grave's end. You know, we don't think like that. Therefore, it's important when you come to katha, resonate. Think of all the beneficiary, great things that are being recited. And then see how you can deploy those things in your life. Start putting those points into practical application. Don't come here empty-handed and go away empty-handed. Okay? Come here with a fresh mind. Be prepared to take the best that you can and take it away with you and apply it. It's like if you went to a bank and somebody was giving us so many dollars for free or rupees for free, you would grab as much as you could, right? You won't say, no, it's okay, I came, I've seen the dollars, rupees, they are free, you keep them, I don't want them. You'd actually collect as much as you could and take it away, right? And if you're smart enough, you're spiritually advanced enough, you'd come and offer them to the lotus feet of Krishna here. You say, Govinda Madhi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami, here. I got all these donations for you today. So let us please take Lord Chaitanya's instructions, Sikshastikam, very seriously. Follow the very first verse very, very sincerely. Cleanse your heart every moment of your life, not only when you are chanting your 16 rounds. Take it very seriously. Develop the mood of the great saintly personalities, you know. And look for Krishna and Radha everywhere you can. Like the six Goswamis, they were always absorbed in the bhav, just thinking of Radha and Krishna, you know. And because they were so absorbed in those bhav, they had even Radharani and Krishna, they had to come at different times and bestow mercy. Here, Madhavendra Puri, I have a glass of milk for you. And Krishna comes and gives him a glass of milk. You know? Radharani comes to Rupa Goswami and says, I have brought some rice and milk. I can cook it for you. I can make some kheer for you. Right? And she makes some kheer and then she goes away. They can do anything for you. You don't have to ask anything. They know what you really need, you know, to be blissful. Thank you very much. Anyone has a question or a comment, you're welcome to ask or comment. Hare Krishna, would you like to say something? So chant and be happy. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
ग्रंथराज श्रीमद भागवतम की जय। जगत गुरु श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। निताय गौर प्रेमानंदी।